This is Anacarmo with UN News. Aquatic foods, a key source of protein, micronutrients and essential fatty acids, are superfoods, which when added to a diverse diet of vegetables, fruits and pulses, such as beans, peas and lentils, contribute to cognition, health and nutrition. In an interview with UN News, 2021 World Food Prize laureate Shakuntala Haraksingh-Tilstead explained the important role that fish and aquatic food systems have in sustainable healthy diets and how they should be included in nutrition policies and program interventions to tackle malnutrition, noting an urgent need to shift the global narrative from simply feeding people to nourishing a growing population. Dr. Tilstead, a steering committee member of a high-level food panel with UN Committee on World Food Security, began by telling UN News' Sachin Gawood how her research approach has led to this award.
My approach was people-centered, nutrition-sensitive approaches, which looked at improving nutrition and health with specific focus on women, pregnant and lactating women, and young children, the first 1,000 days of life. This approach, I would say, it's moving the narrative and moving the work that we do from a focus on feeding to moving the debate and moving the narrative to nourishing people, which takes, of course, quantity into consideration, but as well as quality, nutritional quality and food safety. So using a food systems framework that takes into consideration not just production, as many do from agriculture, but looking at starting with consumption and working back to supply chains and to production systems. Being in Bangladesh, the diet in Bangladesh is rice and vegetables and fish, and then zoned in on fish because of this age-old Bangladeshi proverb, you know, Mashibati Bengali, which means fish and rice make a Bengali. And I was always interested in why, when rice was so important in that part of the world, that fish was placed first. And in talking with women and also talking with professionals, then they would tell about the value of fish in the diet. And women would make this connection that when there is water, when there are rains, when the rains come, they see better. And, you know, you would think about what's that connection. But the connection is with the rains, with the water, come fish. And when they eat more fish, then they get more vitamins and vitamin A in particular, which benefits their eyesight. With the diversity of fish species, there's a diversity of nutrient composition of fish species. And combined with other nutrition-sensitive approaches like nutrition education, social behavior change communication, you would then, it had multiple wins because you would be increasing production, thereby increasing more sale and thereby household income, and at the same time promoting consumption within the household. I was able to move these approaches to many different countries in Asia and Africa and even in the Pacific. And by shifting this approach from feeding to nourishing, that is what made the change and got many people, governments and the private sector and others, to come on board.
Well, of course, you gave an example of Bangladesh. Your work is relevant in so many different areas and regions. And we all know that producing enough food and ensuring nutrition for a growing population, some estimates suggest 9 billion by 2050, it's a huge global challenge. Why do we also need to focus on fish and aquatic foods in boosting global food and nutrition security? Why fish? Why aquatic food?
Because they are superfoods in terms of their micronutrient content and essential fatty acids. And not only that, I mean, if you look at a global level, many poor and vulnerable people, the data that's given is over 800 million people depend on fisheries for their, as the most important source of livelihoods. And a lot of the problems that we are facing today, sometimes is even is around the quality of food, not just the quantity of food. And in this respect, I do think, you asked me about aquatic foods, I do think what's important, well, aquatic foods as being one of the group of foods that should be on the plate of food. So fundamental in moving forward, we should be thinking about diversity of foods and diversity of nutritious foods. So that includes aquatic foods, it includes vegetables, it includes fruit, it includes pulses, and not just the focus on the staple food, which in other part of, you know, India, in Bangladesh is rice, or in Africa is maize. So diversity is important. And what diversity brings with it, it brings with it diverse nutrients and essential micronutrients. It brings with it essential fatty acids. For example, B12 is extremely important for cognition, for growth and development, for health and nutrition of adults. If we would be able to nourish the child from birth or even before birth with a pregnant and lactating woman and then the child growing up, then you would get intergenerational benefits. A healthy child grows to be a healthy adult, better school performance, better work performance, and contribution to national development. And in the part of the, like you take Asia, it's not like in Western countries, in European countries, when you would eat fish or aquatic foods, you eat it, you know, it's singular, a piece of muscle on the plate. You eat in Asia, it's cooked in a recipe with spices, with vegetables. So the aquatic foods bring with it other nutritious foods. So there are multiple benefits. You have nutrients in vegetables and in rice. You talk about high iron millet or high zinc rice. But if you would have a little bit of aquatic foods on the plate together with these plant source foods, the aquatic food enhances the absorption of micronutrients from the plant source foods. So you have a complementarity effect. In general, what we should be aiming for is a plate of sufficient food, but those foods should be diverse and the diversity should be of nutritious foods, not just the staple food. If you would look at some of the life cycle analyses, some fish species are termed to have lower carbon footprint and greenhouse gas emissions than terrestrial animal source foods, such as beef and pork and chicken. So you are getting multiple wins from that.
Transformation of global food systems was a key theme during the recent UN Food Systems Summit. How can we achieve this, particularly in the context of aquatic food systems?
Transformation of food systems is something that everyone is talking about, because the phrase that is used, our food systems are broken, they are not serving the purpose of healthy people and healthy planet. And this goes back to what I said, that where we started or in working with food systems, the majority of the focus was on staple foods, rightly so. But now we must move. I mean, we have issues of obesity, rising obesity in adults and in children, all in all parts of the world. We have micronutrient deficiencies, cardiovascular diseases, diabetes, which are all impacted by the diets that we eat. So we have to move the food systems so that it can take into account these multiple challenges. And one of the ways that I think the shift we can make is moving just to food, land, and water systems. We have been very focused on food, and in that respect, few foods and land systems. But if we would move it to diverse foods, to land and to water systems, where we look at the foods that are from waters, both marine waters and inland waters, and just not fish. Fish is just a small part of those foods. You have plants, animals, and microorganisms. Take for it for instance, seaweed, then you would get a greater diversity of foods. And at the UN Food Systems Summit 2021, the scientific group that took to the UN Food Systems Summit, they named 7 priorities for action. And one of those priorities was on aquatic foods. Another solution that was given was school feeding should be a priority. And this was also with respect to the disruptions we are seeing now with COVID-19 and more people not getting enough nutritious foods. And this is one way that they think they can meet some of the needs is by focusing on school feeding. So one of the things that what if we would combine these with nutritious aquatic foods together with the school feeding program? For generations, we've had school milk as part of school feeding programs. What if we can, for example, use a product like seaweed, which is so highly nutritious and also with a low carbon footprint, and use this as part of school feeding programs? I do think if we think differently and look at different combinations of solutions, we can get much further than where we are today.
I believe you are also a steering committee member of the UN Committee on Food Security. Tell us about your association with the UN agencies and how you are working with, particularly with the Food and Agricultural Organization, to put a spotlight on aquatic food systems in the global action agenda.
In the UN Food Systems Summit, I was vice chair of Action Track 4, which is on equitable livelihoods. And the focus there was on women, youth, and indigenous peoples. There was a lot of work with the UN organizations. With FAO, it's quite natural that I have a large engagement with FAO, because FAO has a very strong department for fisheries and aquaculture, and at the same time, a very strong department for food systems and nutrition. And I worked in that interface. So that's extremely, so we work a lot. And you know, next year is going to be the year of artisanal fisheries, and called IYAA, or thing. It's about artisanal fisheries, small scale fisheries. Within the UN organizations, there's also the UN Nutrition. And this year, the UN Nutrition, which is a conglomerate of UN agencies and some member states. We've written the first discussion paper on the role of aquatic foods in sustainable healthy diets. And that has been extremely important in moving the agenda and in feeding into the UN Food Systems Summit. Importantly, I sit in the HLPE, the high-level panel of experts in the World Food Security Committee. And that is also an important agenda. And we have been able to do quite a lot there, because the HLP is a 15-member organization of experts from across the world. One of the things in choosing the 15 members, you represent different parts of the world. And it's the science policy interface for food systems and food and nutrition security. And the HLP provides evidence-based and scientific reports. So, for example, extremely important reports on food systems, food and nutrition security. This year, we released a report on youth in agriculture. And next year, there's going to be a report on data in agriculture. So it's an extremely important, I would say, committee that meets, discusses, and able to feed into important and global agendas such as the UN Food Systems Summit. So that's important. And it's also important that the HLPE can monitor now the progress and the implementation of solutions that stem from the UN Food Systems Summit, so it can go on to 2030 and beyond.